Thank you for firing up the Sunrise Church podcast. My name is Steve Garcia, and I am the lead pastor at Sunrise. We are a community of Jesus followers from all walks of life, all colors of skin, and all ages. And I hope this message you hear today inspires you to deepen your connection with Christ. And now, here is Pastor Anthony Riley. Let's dive in.
My name is Pastor Anthony Riley. For those who don't know me, I'm so glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning. You know, this isn't a season where everyone is, not everyone, that's exaggerating, some are just so cheerful and happy. They just love Christmas. It's when you pass out gifts, get gifts, eat all that great food, sing carols. And if that's your experience this Sunday or this past yesterday being Christmas, I celebrate with you. But as a pastor, I must recognize that this day is quite odd for those. This season is quite odd for those because they lost something this year. They possibly lost a family member, possibly got out of a relationship, lost their job, lost their home, and now their finances is unstable. But that's the amazing thing about Christmas, because it reminds us that when there's no hope, when there's no help, or if we're joyful, God sent his only begotten son so that we can have life more eternally, but also that we can have the help, the joy, and the love right now. So I don't care where you stand or where you find yourself in the status of life right now, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And he's here to help you. He's here to give you that hope and that assurance that in life you can have victory. That's the heartbeat behind Christmas. It's not about the presents underneath the tree or the lights or the singing, but it's knowing that God loved us, that he sent his only begotten son, and the birth of Jesus marks the beginning of God's promise to man. But the truth is, it's a beautiful story with a heavenly theme. For the month of December, we've been in this series simply entitled The Prince of Peace. And that phrase comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And this is what it reads. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Here it is, the prophet Isaiah is speaking to a people that's not doing things God's way. Just a couple of chapters before, he makes this declaration that God is going to send his son to bring us help. He begins to call them out on what they're doing. They're living outside of God's will. They're doing what they want to do. And he's trying to remind them, you were called to be a people to worship me and only me. But somehow they got intertangled with around the different nations. And then they found themselves acting like the nations. So here comes God saying, who will go for me and speak the word of me so that lives can be changed? And Isaiah raised his hand. Are you willing to go and preach the good news of Jesus Christ to a world that so desperately needs it? Or are you that individual that wants to do things your way? And God has to get your attention, because he got the attention of Israel. He brought in the army, and from there, he took them out of their country. He took them out of their homes. Some of them died in the battle. Some were taken away in slavery. However, he left a remnant there because he wanted the world to know that it's not over yet. And if this has been a year of loss for you, I want to tell you it's not over yet. God is in the business of doing what he wants to do. But despite these terrible things, the prophet Isaiah gave them this hope and this good news, which was the coming Yahweh. And hundreds of years later, the prophecy came true. And if you look throughout the various gospels, you will find that the story of Jesus was kind of expressed in different ways. But I want to pull from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, if you have your Bibles. We're going to rest there for a second, and then I'm going to jump over to Philippians. But Luke chapter 2, verse 6, It says, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Here it is, Joseph and Mary was given instructions by the angel of the Lord saying, hey, you're going to be with child. And then Mary, believing in her heart, said, okay, how would these things be? She trusted by faith. However, Joseph, not having relations with his wife-to-be, she comes in there with a baby bump. Amen. Now imagine if you was a man and your wife or your fiance comes to you and say, hey baby, I'm pregnant by the Lord. I know how I would respond. You pregnant by what? By the Holy Spirit. So Joseph wrestled with these thoughts in his mind, and he was going to send her away. But then the angel of the Lord came to Joseph and said, no, it's true, and I want you to name him Jesus. He is going to be the one that's going to save the world from destruction. Joseph believed by faith. And here it is, they wound up where now it becomes, now they're traveling. Now they're there, and now here it is. Mary gives birth. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Must have been some type of experience. Verse 10. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will give you great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the anointed one, the King, the Lord. Verse 13. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Could you imagine if you was those shepherds where you're sitting there having this conversation and then this angel appears and he's affirming what was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. And as they're talking, God pulls back the curtains of heaven and the heavenly choir gets to singing, saying, here it is. God is good. Glory to God in the highest. And then he gave them the good news that a son is born to bring peace to God and man. And if you look throughout scriptures, not too much is recorded about the life of Jesus as far as when his adolescent years or his teenage years. We know that Mary took him to the temple to be given back to God and Joseph. We know that he was circumcised on the eighth day. We know that they returned to Nazareth. And we know that he grew up, the Bible says, to be strong. He was filled with wisdom and God's grace shone on him and kept him. So let's fast forward at the age of 30. Jesus comes out, he's walking on the seashore by the Jordan, and his cousin John the Baptist is baptizing people. Jesus walks up to him and says, hey, it's time for you to baptize me. There were some conversations there. However, John the Baptist did exactly what Jesus told him to do. He was baptized. He went into the wilderness. He came out with all power in his hands. And he said, all power has been given unto me. And from there, he starts his earthly ministry. And for 3 years, Jesus is going from town to town, preaching the gospel to the people. But here's the kicker. They did not believe him. He kept saying, I am he, the one that God has spoken of. They did not believe him. Why? Because what the Jews believed, that becoming one or the chosen one, the anointed one, was going to come in military form. They assumed that he was going to come in this political figure, and finally they would take away the Roman Empire, and next thing you know, Israel will be on top again. So they had this kind of concept on what was to happen, but when it didn't happen their way, on how they saw it, they got discouraged, they got displeased, and they got angry and bitter. What about you? You're praying to God, waiting for something to happen, but when it doesn't come the way you want it to come, Do you get angry? Do you get bitter? Do you turn your back from God? Or do you trust and believe that God has a bigger plan for you? The truth is, Israel didn't know there was a bigger plan, and it wasn't all about them. But they were so focused on their own situations, them being ruled and oppressed by the Roman Empire, they missed the mark. They totally missed the power of the gospel, but ultimately they missed freedom. And what's sad today is, it's the same thing happening today. People are still missing the freedom that is found in the gospel. People are still questioning the birth and the person and the divinity of God. You know, in my position, I have an opportunity to speak to many people on a weekly basis. And they're so frustrated and annoyed and irritated because things are not going their way. And instead of trusting God through the process, they walk around aimlessly, looking for hope in all the wrong places. And they wonder why they can't get no better than what they got. And as a pastor, we do this every Sunday. We ask you to write down your prayer request. And because we want to pray for you and for your situation on a weekly basis. But majority of the prayer requests that we receive deals with family tension, family drama, personal struggles, personal challenges. This has been a rough past 2 years. You're adapting, you're coming and going, you're not knowing what's going to happen in life. But you're trying your best to make it work. There's been so much loss these last 2 years. Many have lost their husbands and their wives or their children. Many have been diagnosed with cancer or some other form of disease. I've spoken to many people that now their family is battling dementia. Some people are just trying to keep their heads above water just so they don't lose their mind. And sometimes you may feel or think that God is not in the midst of your drama. And you're looking around saying, God, how did I get here? You said that I would have life and have it more abundantly. I don't feel like I'm living the abundant life. In fact, I feel the total opposite. There's no peace. There feels like there's more war than anything. And I must admit, I feel that way too sometimes. Sometimes I feel discouraged. Sometimes I feel like giving up. Sometimes I feel like throwing in the towel. Sometimes I feel like I'm simply on an island all by myself. And I'm looking for a lifeline from someone, but yet it feels like I'm all alone. But when I get into that place, my mother's taught me to go to the prayer closet. And then that's where I go and I have a conversation with God. And I begin to ask him questions. Why am I going through this? Why am I feel like I'm the only one on this island? And then he begins to speak to my heart. And he reminds me of the words that I've read many of times. And one of those passages is found in John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus says these words, in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What Jesus is saying, don't lose heart. I need you to keep your boots on the ground. I need you to trust me because in the process, I'm doing something that you can't even imagine. You got to stay in the fight. You got to stay in the game because the enemy wants to distract you and I. And if he does that, then he wins. But we have to take the words from Jesus. Jesus says, despite your struggles and challenges, I still need you to rejoice. Don't lose heart. So the question now becomes, when tribulation comes in your life, how do you respond? Do you become fearful? Do you panic? Or do you maintain your composure and say, this is not where I'm landing. I'm going to trust God and the process that he has for me. That's what Jesus was telling us in this text. He simply said that I want you to be joyful despite your circumstances. The word be means have courage in it while you go through it. If the truth is, if you're honest with yourself, and I'm honest with myself, there are days when I just don't feel courageous. There are days when I just want to give up. But that's when God says, no, I need you to go a little bit further and a little bit deeper. So the question is, how do we live out this life? The words of Jesus. How can we have a cheerful heart and be at peace when things appear? That's the key word. Appears to be chaotic and uncertain, because the truth is God knows. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the Bible says, which simply means he's the beginning and the end and everything in between. So it's not a surprise to God while you're in the scenario that you're in. So today I want to expand that thought of Jesus. And I want to talk about how we can have peace in Christ despite what's going on in our lives. And to further this discussion, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. This is a letter that Paul has written to the Philippian church. Paul's current location is in Rome. He's on house arrest. He's in chains. But yet he still finds the power to write to a church that he established in Christ. He gets word that something is happening within the church. Individuals are being shaken. They don't know what to do with their life. And they're just trying to figure life out. So what Paul does, he pens this letter. First, he gives them some things on some direction on how to live their life. And then he begins to encourage them. So he begins to talk about you having these personal convictions and persecutions, but stay in the fight. He shifts gears and he starts talking about unity, because the church is now beginning to fight one another because they're trying to infiltrate the church. Signs like today. And then he goes on to talk about don't practice legalism. Do not practice lawlessness. Why? Because by God's grace, you've been saved. And he wants to take you to another level. But before he ends the letter, he gives them these final encouraging words. And I would love to give you those same words today. If you're going through something, if you're not going through something, you're going to definitely need this for your tool bag. Because the truth is, Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome this. So Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? Because the Lord is near. He says, don't rejoice sometimes. He didn't say most of the time. He said rejoice all the time. Because it's in the rejoicing that you recognize that God is near. It's in the rejoicing where you do not let your attitude dictate how you live. He says here that let your gentleness be evident. When someone rub you the wrong way, do you, amen. Do you give them peace in your mind? Do you do something that's not so loving or so kind? Paul says, instead of doing that, I want you to rejoice. Do not let anyone steal your inner peace. He goes on to verse 6, says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He says, with thanksgiving, I need you to approach the throne of God in such a way where you're thanking him for the battle. Lord, I don't know what's happening here, but yet I'm going to trust you. I don't know how this is going to pan out, but yet I'm still going to stay and fight. He's saying, I need you to have some joy in your heart. Now you begin to ask and make those requests to God. And after you do that, Paul reminds them that God is available at any time. And he's really concerned about what's going on in your life, and most importantly, what you need. You know, he took a page out of Jesus' book. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, this is Jesus giving his Sermon on the Mount, his most favorite sermon. And he says in verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." That's that word again. "What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying about a single hour, can you add a single hour to your day?" What Jesus is simply saying is, if God cares about the bird, aren't you that much more important to him? Why are you worrying? Why are you fretting? And he goes on to say in verse 28, "And why do you worry," there's that word again, "about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Here's it at. Here's verse 30. "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" He didn't say they didn't have faith. He said, "You of little faith." Are you trusting, believing God can do the most? That's just what we sung. If that's the case, then why are you worried? Why are you so anxious? Why are you panicking on what God wants to do in your life? 31, "So do not worry," there's that word again, "saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things," that means unbelievers, "and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." So if God knows that we need it, it's just a matter of time before he gives it to us. So are you willing to wait in the process until he delivers what he says he's going to deliver? And that's what Paul was speaking to the Philippian church. He wanted to know that nothing was beyond God's hand. Nothing was behind God's reach. And I know you're being persecuted. I know it feels like you're losing everything, but if you just hold on, you can't lose everything, because when you have God, he is everything. So it's all about a mindset that you must have. In this letter, Paul reiterates, don't worry, don't be anxious, maintain your cool. He goes on to verse 7, he said, "When you do that, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." That word "guard" there is this military term that deals with, as soldiers go around a base or the barracks, they're protecting everyone therein, so they can rest. Why? Because someone's on watch. And what Jesus is saying, you can be on watch, or I'm on watch, means you can rest and be assured that I'm protecting you through the process. You just have to trust me in the end. So the question is, how do I maintain my sanity as I wait? Paul gives you that answer in verse 8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Paul says there's always a reason to thank God. There's always an opportunity to give God praise. You know, this past Christmas, we had the opportunity, I went with my wife to her Christmas party at her job. And we're at this Christmas party, and we're sitting around there eating good food, having great conversations, and we're just enjoying life. And then out of nowhere, one of her co-worker alarm goes off on her phone. And she says, "Uh-oh, it's 7 o'clock. You know what that means." Now I'm there with some other spouses. I'm saying, what are they talking about? Do y'all know something I don't know? So I leaned over and asked my wife. I said, "DeAndra, what's going on? You know, I don't like surprises. What we doing?" She said, "Oh, this is the time that we decided at 7 o'clock we stop whatever we're doing and we thank God for where he's done in our lives." We're thankful, so we got to come up with three things on why we're thankful. And what was so encouraging to me that this was happening in a secular environment. So we got around the table, and some of the things I heard was, I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my health. Someone said, I'm thankful for our community and relationships. And this one got me. Someone said, I'm thankful for Amazon. I said, Amazon? Yes, because they delivered me a Christmas tree. I said, wow. Amen. You got some stock in Amazon. We do too. But when I was listening, seriously, when I was listening, I was just thinking back over my life, how God has kept me when I didn't want to be kept, when he was my strength, when he was my rock, when I felt like I was all by myself. I thanked him for my health. I thanked him for a blessed life. Not perfect, blessed. But sometimes we get distracted and our current situations forces us to miss the blessings that God has given us on a daily basis. There are so many challenges going on in your life right now, but I want you just to think for a second and reflect how God has kept you this last year. And if you can think of anything, how about you give him some praise? One thing he's done for you is he woke you up this morning. Amen. Give yourself a hand clap. Somebody didn't get that. The question is, or the truth is, over 800,000 people have died to COVID. Why did God still choose to keep you? There's so much that we can be thankful for. People who graduated from high school and college. Many people got good jobs. Some people had accidents but survived those accidents. Relationships with men and with loved ones. Some people on the road to recovery from addictions. And that's what Paul is saying. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of such things. But then he said, just don't think it. Verse 9 says, put into practice. Whatever you have heard, learned, seen in me, put it into practice as the God of peace will be with you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God says, my peace will be with you. Emmanuel with us. So what the devil tries to do, he tries to distract you and I to go off course what God is doing. But God says, I need you to stay in the fight. What Paul gives us in Philippians chapter 4 is a recipe for success on how we can have rest and peace in Christ. And if you're writing some things down, I want you to write these three statements down, because I think when you get discouraged and you feel like you're just at your wit's end and you want to give in, I want you to go back to these notes and I want you to realize that God is in the process. This is the first thing I want you to write down. You must recognize God's presence and celebrate now. You must recognize God's presence and celebrate now. God is always in the mix, and many of us get distracted about our problems and we're forgetting that God is with you. One of the experiences recorded in Acts chapter 16 is this narrative with Paul. In Acts 16, Paul is described as established in the church in Philippi. He goes in there, he preaches the word of God, lives are changed, lives are saved, things are moving, things are working. He's recognized what God is doing, but then something happens. He has this nagging girl following him around, saying, this is the one, this is the one. And he gets so annoyed and irritated that he begins to convict the spirit in her, it comes out of her. And now she can no longer do fortune telling. So now her owners are mad. They're like, wait a second. You playing with my money. And you know how it is, you play with people's money, it causes problems. So what happened is they grabbed Paul and Silas and brought them in front of the Roman officials. And this is what it says. Verse 22 of Acts 16. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. I don't think you've been through, have you been flogged? Have you been beaten? Have you been stripped? Have you been thrown in a stockade? for preaching the word of Jesus? Here it is. That's what happened to Paul and Silas. And you think that they would shut their mouth. But in verse 25, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas was praying and singing hymns to God. Amidst the pain and amidst the bleeding, they simply said, I'm going to rejoice through song and praise. And they invited Jesus into the room. When you're going through trials in life, are you whining on the sideline or are you inviting Jesus into the room? God says, I'm with you. We can fight together and make this happen. And when trouble arises, the question is, do you run or do you lean in? Yes, your relationship is on the rocks, but you're still in a relationship. Yes, your loved one may be traveling down a wrong path, but yes, God can still make it work. Yes, your health may be worsening and the doctor gave you a bad report, but maybe God's not finished yet. So how about you celebrate him now and say, despite what it looks like, I'm still going to trust and believe that you are God. You cannot go into 22 with the same mentality is what I'm saying. The same attitude, the same issues in life. You got to say, today's the day that I'm going to stand up and move forward. I don't care how bad it is. It's all about perspective. So the first thing you must do is recognize God's presence, but I also want you to celebrate him now. This is number two. You must pray and wait with the expectations. The reason why many of y'all are in drama because you don't pray. You get in the car by yourself. You say, okay, Jesus, buckle up. Follow me. We're going to do this. And when it's all said and done, when things hit you wrong, now you want to give Jesus the wheel. But Jesus wants the wheel now. He wants you to come in and pray, and then you can access him in 24 hours. Philippians 4:6 says again, but in every situation, we like to pick and choose our situations that we want to hand God. He said, every situation, turn it over to me. What situation are you trying to handle right now on your own? Are you reluctant to give God the wheel? But God is saying, you're swerving. You're swerving. You're about to have an accident. You're about to wreck. Boom. And now you're wondering, how did I get here? He says, give everything to me. Does your prayer line up with God's word and God's will for your life? If it doesn't, he's not going to answer that prayer. You can pray it up, but it's going to hit that ceiling and come back down. Does your prayer only benefit you? You have to ask these questions. You have to check your internal clock. Because if you don't, you may be asking something that God's not going to provide. But if you're in God's will, he's going to provide it. We know that because in Mark 11, verse 24, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Jesus is saying, if your prayer lines up with my will and my purpose for your life, he said, God will answer that for you. But you must approach the word of God with confidence. You must approach him with an expectation that he will deliver. He says, bring my petition to me. That means bring your demand and bring it with confidence. And if you believe that he is God, and if you stay in the fight and wait on him, I believe he'll answer. There's only three ways God can answer you. It's yes. We love the yes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No, we don't like the word no. You know, when you're a kid, mommy, can I have some candy? No. You get over it. Or if you're married, baby, can I have some cake? No. Amen. I want cake. But I get over it. But when someone says, wait, that's the hard part. Because we don't like to wait. We want it now. And that's what this whole text is about. It's waiting on God to make it work for you. So I need you to trust the process. So, number three, you might be saying, Pastor, I'm doing all of this. I'm waiting on God. I'm praying on God. But I still feel like I'm in a gutter. Then this is definitely for you. Think and live beyond your current circumstances. I need you to think and live beyond what you're experiencing. It's not going to look pretty all the time. Remember, Jesus said that? right? You're going to have trials, tribulations, but stay in the fight. That word live there means continue to fight. And this type of attitude requires faith. The truth is, faith without works is dead. Are you living or are you existing? What's the difference between living and existence? I tell you, if you're existing, if this is you, you get up in the morning, you hit the alarm 4 or 5 times. You get up, you roll yourself out of bed, you get your clothes on. You get you something to eat, you get in the car, you get to work. And then by 12 o'clock, you stop and you think, did I brush my teeth this morning? Your head is spinning so much. You don't know if you're coming and going and you feel so chaotic. But Paul is saying here, I need you to practice what I'm doing. What you've heard, seen, and learned in me, do it with purpose. That's what he wants you to do. And the truth is, some of you guys are fighting your blessing. You're mad at God because he's giving you exactly what you wanted. You know, God, if you give me this man, you give me this woman, I promise you, I'll praise you. Now you have him. Now you have her. Where is his praise? You probably prayed, Lord, if I get pregnant, that's all I need to complete the family. And he gives you twins. And now they get on your nerve, now you want to give them back. But he answered your prayer. You say, Lord, if you put me in this prestigious school or give me this business, I promise you I'll scream your name from the mountaintop. And now you're in that school or you got that business and now you're crying. I don't know what I'm going to do. He answers your prayers, but where's his praise? No one gets the glory without going through carnal. You must trust and believe God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, I love this verse, therefore we do not lose heart. Though our outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on Jesus, but not what is seen, because what we've seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You're just in this season for a minute. I need you to trust and believe that it's only for a purpose. But when I get in these places, I need you to ask yourself these three questions. Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this? Why am I going through this? And why are you allowing this to happen to me? But most importantly, Lord, are you going to bring me out with a mighty shout? I love this quote by Sun Tzu. He wrote this book called The Art of War. And this quote is this: in the midst of chaos, there is always opportunity. So don't look at your chaos as something you don't need. Look at it as an opportunity. How can I recover from this? What is God doing to open a door for me here? Because in the chaos, there's always opportunity. And you can't go into 22 with the same attitude. You have to lay it at the feet of Jesus. That's what Paul is saying. I need you to wait and lay it at the feet of Jesus. You can't have the same mindset, the same disposition when you go into 22. Because the truth is, God has a plan for you and he's setting the stage, but you have to be willing to wait. You know, as we wrap this thing up, I went to the gym Friday and had a conversation with a gentleman. And I see him on occasions at the gym. And he walked up to me and said, hey man, how you doing? He said, Pastor, me and Jesus is on a mission. I said, a mission? He said, in 22, I believe he's going to give me with everything I asked for these last 10 years. And I can see just the light and the radiance off of his body. I'm just sitting there and I'm intrigued with him. I said, and what you going to do? He said, I'm going to wait until he delivers. That's what I want to give to you today. I need you to wait until God births that dream for you. But in order for having a conversation with God, you must first have a relationship with God. Because if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, nothing else works. So you may be in this room right now and you're wondering, why do I feel like I'm continuously hitting my head on the wall? It's because maybe you have the steering wheel and maybe God wants it from you. And the second of that, I want to lead you through this prayer. Here at Sunrise, we call it the ABCs. You must first admit that you don't have the answers. You just must admit that you don't know the road you're going down. You must admit that you're broken. You must admit that I need help. But once you recognize that, the Bible says, now I need you to believe in your heart that God sent Jesus for you and I so that we can have a life forever. But this is key. I need you to commit. I need you to say, today is a new day. Today I'm going to change my life. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to walk you through that. Let's take a minute. We can all close our eyes and bow our heads. If this is you and you're anxious and you feel like you're going nowhere fast and you're trying to figure life out, maybe it starts with the greatest gift of it all, and that's the acceptance of Jesus Christ. If that's you, I want you to say these words to me quietly in your heart. Father God, I'm broken. I need help. I believe that you sent your only begotten son so that I can have life and have it eternal. Most importantly, I commit my life to you today. I don't know what the future has for me, but I'm going to trust you anyway. Thank you for sending Jesus. I accept it into my life. In his name we pray, amen. If that was you, I want to be the first one to say congratulations. You made the best choice of your life. But I also want to talk to those in the room that used to walk with Jesus, used to believe by faith, but you kind of began to do things your own way. And you keep getting frustrated, irritated, angry, bitter. Maybe it's because you took your eyes off of Jesus and he wants to redirect you to where he is. If that's you, commit back to him. But for all the rest of us, if you were going to go into 22, with a new standard, we have to wait on God. Amen? Let's give God a hand clap. So I need you to recognize that God's presence is always near. I need you to pray with an expectation. But most importantly, I need you to live with purpose, and that purpose is Jesus Christ. Amen?
Thanks again for listening to this podcast. I want to encourage you to not just stop here. Maybe you sense God is speaking to you today and wanting you to take that next step. So here's two ways you can do just that. The first is text the word next to the number 909-281-7797. That's 909-281-7797. And you'll receive a message back with some ways to help you grow. That may mean joining a small group or finding a place to serve or just talking with someone one-to-one about your faith. You can also visit the notes for this podcast and follow the links provided. And if you're within driving distance of one of our four physical locations in Banning, Ontario, Rialto, or Victorville, we'd love for you to stop by sometime and give us a chance to meet you personally. Again, we want to thank you for listening, and we hope to see you soon. God bless.